Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. Let us start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne with all praise and honor and glory, and we thank you, Father, for giving us life for another week. We thank you for your protection in such an unsafe world. We thank you for protecting your people and keeping them safe from the virus. And Father, we just pray and ask your kingdom to come, your will to be done on this earth as is in heaven. We pray, Father, for your work to go forth from Jerusalem to the nations. And we pray, Father, and just ask that you would help those who call out to you this day and are suffering. We thank you for sending your Son to pay the penalty of our sins. And we put this Bible study into your hands and ask your Spirit to guide and lead our words. In Yeshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. Okay, today we are going over lesson 15, Who is Babylon? And it's always an exciting study because it's a study that you couldn't know before modern times. You know, many of these things that were written, whether it's the book of Jeremiah that's written 2,700 and something years ago, or the book of Revelation that's written around 2,000 years ago, 1,900 years ago. Until the time that we're living in, there'd be no way to know who Babylon is because there's about 100 characteristics that show it. I think what I'm going to do is today, I'm going to go over basically who is end time Babylon from the scriptures, and then next week do more of a prophetic study on Babylon of what's happening just in the last 6 months. And the scriptures are jumping off the pages and what we're seeing about the fulfillment of some of these scriptures now that is happening to Babylon. So, how important is Babylon in scripture? You know, it's really interesting because the Bible is a book of a family book. It's a family book about the history and the Torah of everything of Israel. So, other nations, when you're talking about, let's say, Rome, or you're talking about Assyria, you're talking about Egypt, or even Babylon, they're only mentioned in the sense of when they're coming into connection with Israel. It's Israel's history. It's not history of the Middle East or history of the Far East or history of Asia or anything else. Countries are mentioned as they come into connection. So why do I mention this? Because it's very interesting that except for Jerusalem, Babylon is mentioned more in Scripture than any other place that's there. Any other place in Israel or any other place in the world, any other city, any other country. But except for Jerusalem, there's no place that's mentioned more in Scripture than Babylon. So it's important because end time Babylon is the world leader. They're the world military leader. They're the world economic leader. They've created a religious system of religious Babylon, commercial Babylon in the world. And if it wasn't important, why would Yahweh put more than 100 identifying marks about who Babylon is in Scripture? So it's extremely important. And that's why many Bible scholars have been mystified over the years, in recent times, I should say, because they say, they look and they say, there's never ever been a country like America in the entire world, and there hasn't been. There's never been a country that has controlled the world the way that America has. There's never been a country that's had the military that America has had. There's never been a country that's had nuclear weapons that, like America, that they can literally kill every man, woman, and child off this planet 100 times over. There's never been an economic system like America has created, with the dollar being the world currency. When you just think of things like Abraham in Scripture buying a cave and counting out, you know, silver to buy that cave. And that's the way that most trading and economic things were done for thousands and thousands of years before paper money. And even when paper money was produced, it was basically more so people wouldn't have to carry heavy money and gold and silver on them. And they would deposit their gold and silver, you know, in a temple. And then the whatever, the priest of the temple would give them a certificate saying that, you know, they had this much worth. And that's the way really the first banks, how they started. But nothing like you see today. Absolutely nothing when you're looking at computers and trillions of dollars and the whole economic system, I mean, we could talk here for probably 10 Bible studies just on the economic system of end time Babylon. So there's nothing to hide here. I've been teaching this now for 25 years almost. And without a shadow of a doubt, there's no way on earth that any other entity on earth could be named as end time Babylon except for America. During the Protestant Reformation, the Protestant ministers came up with Babylon being the Catholic Church. But remember, there are no such things as churches in the Bible. Churches came later. The religion, I should say, religion and churches, you know, Judaism started 2nd century AD. And we see that Christianity started in the 4th century AD, late 3rd, early 4th century AD. So when we're looking in the Bible, the word church is not there. You know, when you look, the word ecclesia that they use in the Greek, it's a called out people in the same, the Idah of Yahweh, that's used in the Hebrew or the Aramaic, which is, again, the people. It's talking about the people. It's not talking about a building or a church. Again, that comes much, much later. So it's an important study to go through because it really affects not only people that are living in the United States of Babylon, but people all over the world. Because the whole reason why Babylon is being destroyed is that they brought this world system worldwide. And Yahweh allowed it, this system, because it's the Laodicean era ruled by the people. So Yahweh allowed world democracy to go to the world in order to bring the good news message in the end time. Because except for this time, how on earth can you fulfill Matthew 24:14 of bringing the good news without printing presses and without being able to print Bibles? And now you don't even have to print them. You know, we've had millions and millions. I can't tell you how many tens of millions of downloads we've had with the Hebraic Roots Bible since we've had a website. So we don't even have to print them now, even though we have them printed. Millions of them can go out just digitally. People putting them on phones, not even have to be on a computer or whatever. So we're living in a whole different time here that only our time, really, these scriptures can be fulfilled. And like I said, next week, I'll go over just in the last 6 months on how many scriptures on Babylon are coming to pass. But just to start out to show you that Babylon is not a church. Babylon is not just a system of trading. Some people think that Babylon is just a money system. So let's go in Jeremiah 50 and verse 1. The word that Yahweh spoke against Babylon, against the land of the Chaldeans. The land of the Chaldeans. It's a land. Verse 3 of Jeremiah 50. For a nation comes up against her from the north, which will make her land a desert. Yea, no one will dwell in it, in her land. They will flee, they will go, both man and animal. Drop down to verse 28 of Jeremiah 50. The voice of those who flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of Yahweh or Elohim, the vengeance of his sanctuary. Jeremiah 51 in verse 2. I will send foreigners to Babylon who will sift her and shall empty her land. For in this day the evil shall be against her all around. Verse 3 of Jeremiah 51. Do not let the one treading fully tread his bow, nor go up in his armor, and do not spare her young men. Utterly destroy all her army. So Babylon is a land that has an army, and we see a leader. Verse 4. So the slain will fall in the land of the Chaldeans, yea, pierced through in her streets. And in the New Testament, Revelation 18:2, he cried with a strong, great voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, it is fallen, and it has become a dwelling place of those possessed by demons, and a home of every foul spirit, and a home of every unclean bird, even the home of every unclean and hateful beast. So it is a place. There's no doubt about it. Babylon is a country. It's not a religion, and it is not simply a system, although Babylon has created world democracy as a system. So they brought the system to the world, but Babylon of itself definitely is a place, and there's only one place on earth that fits all of these scriptures, because we see it. There are, like I said, more than 100 identifying markers, and some of them are really, really small. Even talking about Babylon having a mother, Babylon being a democracy, which is amazing that Yahweh gets into the smallest parts. But the biggest parts about Babylon are not a mystery, because they are the number one economic steam engine of the world. And if you look up until just maybe about 30 years ago, you know, that actually when Babylon started, America wasn't always Babylon because there wasn't always an America. But when this end time started and Babylon starts back in the late 1940s, early 1950s, you can imagine how much economically that America was controlling. 70% of the gold in the world America is holding. Three quarters of the bronze and of the iron. And I mean, just, it's unbelievable when you look in those times how much tin, aluminum of the world resources America controlled and produced. You know, and like I said, it's been going down since that time because Babylon has been falling for many years and even decades. But we're going to see she's going to completely go down. But there's no doubt you can't even remotely come up with an alternative. You can't remotely come up and say for the last 70 years who has been, and not only economically, that's a big part about Babylon. And the second thing is militarily, as we'll see, that Babylon is the military leader of the world. Nobody else. And no one else has even come close to it. And the fact that Babylon is a democracy, you know, she's wearied by her many councils. So the other thing is, someone may, if you're hearing this for the first time, say, well, you know, you're reading all these scriptures in Jeremiah 50 and 51 about Babylon being a land, but they're talking about ancient Babylon. Now, I'll prove to you right now that Jeremiah 50 and 51, if you look at the whole chapters, and they're pretty long chapters, they're talking about the complete destruction of Babylon. Not one person being left. This has never happened in the history of the world. It's never happened in the history of Babylon. How did Babylon fall? Well, we know that 70 years were given for the Jews to be in Babylon. And then after 70 years, starting in 609 BC, that 70 years later in 539, we know that Cyrus the Mede comes into Babylon, takes it over, and then he allows the Jews to come to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. What's interesting about this is that if you look in the history books and you read about this, there was actually no battle. Cyrus the Mede went in there in the night, right? There was a great river that came under the great walls of Babylon, right? And what happened? He diverted the river of the water coming under the walls, diverted in another direction, and then they went where when the river was dried up, they went in underneath, they opened up the two-leaved doors, just like it talks about in Isaiah 44 and Isaiah 45, and they basically just overtook the city overnight. There's nothing in the history books that talk about mass killings, slaughtering, definitely not killing of Jews, that we all read here in Jeremiah 50 and 51. So without a shadow of a doubt, this has never happened. Jeremiah 50 and 51 is a parallel of Revelation 17 and 18, and it hasn't happened yet. So it's that simple. I'll give you more proof to clearly show you that this has never happened. We start in Jeremiah 50 and verse 4. It says, "In those days and at that time, the sons of Israel shall come, declares Yahweh. They and the sons of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek Yahweh their Elohim. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces pointing there, saying, Come, and let us join ourselves to Yahweh in an everlasting covenant, never to be forgotten. And I will again bring Israel to his home, and he will feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul will be satisfied on Mount Ephraim and Gilead." So, number one, in those days and at that time, it's a Hebrew idiom that means the end time. Anywhere in Scripture you see in those days and at that time, we're talking about end time. And when did this ever happen? When did Israel and Judah together ever come and start the everlasting covenant with Yahweh? It never did happen. This is millennial. This is happening in the millennial. Because, as a matter of fact, we know Israel went into captivity to Assyria, not into Babylon, in, you know, 7, starting in 734 BC up until 718 BC, right? And Judah doesn't go into captivity between 609 and 573. That's the time there's four sieges that Babylon does on Jerusalem and takes the Jews. But this is messianic, talking about both Israel and Judah going back to the land. Okay? Jeremiah 15, verse 20. In those days and at that time, again, millennial, or leading into the millennial at least, says Yahweh, the iniquity of Israel will be sought for, and it is not in the sin of Judah, and they will not be found. For I will pardon those who I leave as a remnant. Wow, what do we know? Because most people are going to die. But the ones who are not going to die are going to accept Yeshua as Messiah, and they will go into the kingdom, and worldwide I'm talking about now. But the iniquity of Israel will be sought for, and it will not, and the sins of Judah, and it will not be found. So this has not happened yet. Certainly has not happened yet. So like we said, in those days and at the time, it's a Hebrew idiom that can only refer to the end of days. And again, when Cyrus the Mede invaded Babylon in 539 BC, he did it with ease. There's no mass murdering. There's no fleeing of Jews. You know, you just don't see it happening at that time. So clearly these chapters, Jeremiah 50 and 51, or for future prophecy. Matter of fact, when we read here, look at that. Jeremiah 50 and verse 13. Because of the wrath of Yahweh, it shall not be inhabited, but all of it shall be a waste. Everyone who goes by Babylon will be amazed and hiss at her plagues. Verse 26. Come against her from the end. Open her granaries, pile up her heaps, and utterly destroy her. Do not let a remnant be left. This never happened. This never happened in ancient times. You know. Jeremiah 51:6, flee from the midst of Babylon, yea, every man deliver his soul. Be not silenced for iniquity. So look in the history books. You will not find at this time, when the Persians came into Babylon, there was anybody fleeing. Certainly not the Jews, because the Jews were given a royal decree by King Cyrus with not only him paying the money and bringing the wood and everything to go rebuild the temple, but he even sent them a royal guard with them to protect them as they were going back there. So nobody was fleeing, nobody was running for their life, and certainly there was no mass killing of Jews in that day. Jeremiah 51:62. Then they will say, O Yahweh, you have spoken against this place to cut it off, so that none shall remain in it from man to animal, but it will be a ruin forever. And we know that has not happened. We know that there's people living today in ancient Babylon. You know, Saddam Hussein went there, rebuilt. Right, they dug up, they did a lot of archaeological work that was there. And we know that in the kingdom, it's actually part of the Holy Land in the kingdom. So certainly there's going to be people that are going to be living there, because it goes all the way from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River, you know, is the Holy Land at that time. So it's important to mention that when this end time Babylon is destroyed, it will never be rebuilt again. But like I said, in modern times, Saddam Hussein in the 1980s did rebuild ancient Babylon in Iraq, clearly disqualifying ancient Babylon as the place of end-time Babylon. Also, if some will believe that these prophecies are speaking about end-time Babylon being in modern-day Iraq, this would be impossible. End-time Babylon will be completely destroyed, no one living in it forever, but modern Iraq is actually part of the Promised Land, like I just said, from Genesis 15 and verse 18. So, clearly, Jeremiah 50 and 51 and Revelation 17, 18 are completely centered on end-time Babylon, as well as other scriptures in Isaiah and other places. So, when we go to Revelation 17 and verse 5, it says, and on her forehead was a name having been written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth. Mystery Babylon. So, if Babylon, you know, end-time Babylon is simply Iraq, where it was before, where's the mystery? There's no mystery in that. But it's called Mystery Babylon because it's not ancient Babylon, right? It's a mystery. We have to look at these characteristics, and that's why Yahweh gives us more than 100 characteristics of end-time Babylon. Why would he have to do that if it was the same place? Because we know it's not the same place. And the same way, that's why these pastors and these prophecy buffs, why they're miffed that America could be such this great country like the world has never seen in 6,000 years. There has never been a country militarily, economically, and everything else that has run the entire world like America. And how could it not be part of end time scripture? How could it not be mentioned at all in end time scripture? And the only thing people say is, well, maybe we're not in the end time then, and maybe America will be destroyed. Well, they got half of it right. America will be destroyed. But it's because they are in scripture, because they are end time Babylon. So Babylon is called mystery, and it's really interesting because when you look up mystery, Babylon the Great, the word is megala, which literally means superpower. So you're talking about mystery, Babylon the superpower. And, you know, that's not a word to take lightly. A matter of fact, I can't tell you in 25 years of teaching about America being Babylon, how many times I've heard in the news where somebody either in the news or an American politician had said, you know, it's not easy being the world's only superpower. Because who else? Tell me, name one other country. You could say maybe China's on the rise, but China's not a superpower yet. They've only been in the G7 for what, a decade, maybe a little more than that. Maybe now time's going fast. Maybe 20 years, but they haven't even been in the G7 that long, you know. So they certainly aren't the hammer of the earth. They're not pounding other people. They're not controlling other lands the way that America has been doing ever since 1945 and the end of World War II. But it's Babylon the superpower. And like I said, you hear it over and over. America today is the world's only superpower. Nobody else that even comes close. What are some of the other predominant characteristics of end time Babylon? Let's go to Habakkuk 1. Back up to Habakkuk. Habakkuk 1 and verse 6. For behold, I will raise up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, same people. It's the Chaldean is the land. The bitter and impetuous nation which is going into the broad spaces of the land to possess dwellings not their own. Right? Well, let me read that again. I will raise up the Chaldeans, the bitter and impetuous nation which is going into the broad spaces of the land to possess dwellings not their own. Isn't this exactly how America became America? Didn't they go through the broad spaces of the land? They started with 13 colonies on the East Coast, and then they went through the broad spaces of the land going all the way out to California, taking land that wasn't theirs. It was the Americans' Indians' land, killing the Indians and taking land. He is terrible and fearful. His judgment and his glory goes forth from him, from himself. His horses are swifter than leopards and are fiercer than the evening wolves, right? They have the best machinery, the best fighting machinery. And their horsemen spread themselves, yea, their horsemen come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle hurrying to eat. And we see that it's the air power of end time Babylon, like we see in Daniel, right? That the lion, which is Great Britain, with eagle's wings. America is the eagle, lion is Great Britain. But they've had this great alliance together, Great Britain and America, and the air power that they've been doing since World War II, you know, that working together to overtake and put down the Nazis. And then also since that time, many, many times together. All of him shall come for violence, the gathering of their faces forward, and they shall gather captives like the sand. And every time I read the scripture, I think of the Gulf War, where 500,000 soldiers of Iraq in the sand there, just putting down their weapons, and America coming and taking them like ants. And they will scoff against kings, and officials shall be a scorn to them. He shall scorn every fortress and shall heap up dirt and capture it. Right? Who else does this? America, whether it's the United Nations or anything else, they scoff at these people. They mock. They tell, you know, because what are they going to do? Nobody's going to do anything to Babylon. They're too strong. Then he sweeps on like a wind and he passes on and is guilty, creating the power of his to his God. His God. The only problem is, like in their money, in God we trust. Who was God? The Babylonian deity of fortune. So it's not Yahweh. It doesn't say in Yahweh we trust. And the money system of Babylon, this debt-based system that they have, it certainly is not of Yahweh. Because Yahweh says the borrower is servant to the lender. So, you know, Yahweh is not for a debt-based system like that. But in Babylon, that's their system. That's how it has to keep expanding now. And now that's why it's so debt-based, that they have to keep expanding because of the money that's owed. And if they don't keep borrowing to expanding it, it'll just collapse. And it will anyway. Any debt-based system will. What's holding it up? Just Yahweh timing. Yahweh's timing, but I think they're getting close. Especially now with this coronavirus. I mean, they've really went off the cords of borrowing just in the last 6 months, close to $6 trillion, and now they're putting together more, you know, more they want to borrow. Some want to borrow another $5 or $6 trillion. Like, these numbers mean nothing to them anymore. It's so out of control, and, you know, it'll be the end to them. Just like Scripture says, whatever your sin is that you don't control, in the end will be the end of you. So the first thing we see here about end time Babylon is how they become a great nation. In verse 6, like we said, they go through the broad spaces of the land, taking and possessing dwellings not their own, exactly how the United States took the land away from the American Indians, and how they fight against all others. So let's look at some more characteristics of Babylon. Revelation 17 and verse 1. And one of the seven cherubs, having the seven bowls, came and spoke with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot sitting on many waters." So we could guess, right, what these waters are. She sits on many waters. But we let the Bible interpret the Bible. So we don't have to guess, because look at verse 15. And he says to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and crowds and nations and tongues." Right? Jeremiah 50 verse 37, if you put this with that scripture, says, "A sword is on her horses and chariots, and all the mixed people in her midst." All the mixed people in her midst. So Babylon is a great melting pot. And that's what America is. There, you know, when you look, today there's still a country of Syria. And their history goes back 4,000 years. There's still Egypt, Egyptians, right? Their history goes back more than 4,000 years. And you have history of countries like Iran, which was Persia. That the same thing. Their history goes back well more than 2,500 years ago. And many countries that are like that, that have ancient histories. But America doesn't have that. And that's why they're called the last of the superpowers, the last of the nations, because there hasn't been another nation since America that started. And they're only a few hundred years old, America. And yet, they're really the only indigenous Americans are the American Indians. So that's why it says, "To all the peoples and crowds and tongues and nations," that's the waters, "and all the mixed people in her mix." Mixed people. America has been a country of immigrants. You know, that's what they've been all along. It's very interesting because when Saddam Hussein was doing the archaeology in ancient Babylon, we always thought, everybody thought, you know, history that was written was that Ishtar was simply a temple prostitute. That's all it was. But yet, when they came and they found these cuneiform writings about Ishtar in ancient Babylon, what they found out was that Ishtar was actually called the mother of immigrants. She had a seven-spike crown with either a golden cup or a torch in her hand, and in her other hand she had the law of Hammurabi. So, wow, what does that sound like? You know, and with purple and scarlet color robes on. It looks exactly like the Statue of Liberty, which you have there, you know. So, which we know, the Statue of Liberty, where does it come from? It comes from the goddess Libertas, which is the same goddess, the Roman goddess. Libertas is the same as the Greek goddess Diana, who is the same as the Babylonian goddess Ishtar. You know, it's just that it's the same god or goddess, and they just switch the names of them as they go along. So the waters actually represent freshwater seaports that Babylon exhibits, something that is abundant in the United States, but not in ancient Babylon. And it's really interesting because beside ancient Babylon, there's only one place in the world today that's called Babylon, at least that I've seen, and that's in New York. There's a city in New York called Babylon. I've been, when I used to have the courier service with my dad, I used to make deliveries out there all the time. What's interesting is, as the ships come, right, because New York has always been the largest harbors in the world where all of the goods come, right? All the Chinese and the Russians and the Europeans and the Asians and all these people, the Japanese, that want to sell Babylonians all their junk. It all comes in through the seaports in New York. And as you come in from the Atlantic Ocean and you make that turn into the seaport, the first thing you see is the water tower in Babylon, New York, that says, "Welcome to Babylon." You know, so, wow. Tell me, you know, Yahweh's ways are not perfect. And as we're going to see here, that's what Babylon is about. Babylon is a buyer. There's nobody else in the world that's buying everybody else's junk but America, you know. And they're buying, you know, if you look at the trade deficit just with China over the last, you know, 10 to 20 years, it's like sometimes between $500 and $800 billion a year, meaningly that America is buying that much more than the Chinese are buying from them. So you better believe when the merchants sigh and cry because nobody buys their merchandise anymore. You know, nobody's buying their merchandise. So it's not hard to figure out who Babylon is when we look at it. Jeremiah 15, verse 23. How the hammer of the earth is cut off and broken. How Babylon has become a ruin among the nations. What does he mean, the hammer of the earth? It's a Hebrew idiom because the hammer pounds. So Babylon is a country that pounds other country, pounds them militarily. The phrase in the original Hebrew is actually a Jewish idiom that literally means world policeman. Babylon is the world policeman. The concept of the hammer of the earth being one who pounds and pounds his opponents. If one is honest with himself, there is no other modern superpower that has used their military and economic power to pound and pound their opponents. Whether it's forced monetary sanctions at the United Nations or literal military invasion, as we've seen in the last 25 years in Kosovo, Bosnia, Iraq, Afghanistan, Grenada, Sudan, Libya, and on and on and on. You know, many, many places. Syria, that America has pounded all nations that oppose them in modern times. And nobody else. There's nobody else that you could name, you know. You'd have to go to World War II, right? With the Germans, what they were doing that. And what happened? Babylon wound up taking them out. It's also prophesied that Babylon would not be a dictatorship, would be a democracy, right? It would be a democracy. Where the world leaders of all the nations in the world would meet together in end time Babylon to discuss world problems. So Isaiah 47 and verse 13, the first part says, "You are exhausted by the multitude of your councils," right? Wow. Look today. Look at the Democrats and the Republicans. Man, if that doesn't exhaust you, I don't know what would. It's actually hard to even watch. You know, once in a while when they have something really, really important, like, you know, this week they had the Attorney General, and I was going to watch a little bit of it to see, you know, what's going on with all of the rioting and everything. And man, it was hard to watch. It was hard to watch because of how they're exhausted by the multitude of their counsels. Nobody listens to anybody. Here it is. He's the top law enforcement officer in the country, and they wouldn't even let him answer a question. It's unbelievable when you see what's going on there, but that's what the scripture says. Jeremiah 51 and verse 44. "And I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up. And the nations shall not flow together any more to him." The nations flow together to Babylon. The nations come to Babylon and meet. It's the only place in the world that you have United Nations where all the nations of the world come together and meet there. Revelation 17 and 18. "And the woman whom you saw is the great city having dominion over the kings of the earth." Right? Some people try to say Babylon is only New York. No. New York doesn't have a military. It doesn't have a president. And New York, although is the city of Babylon, there is a country of Babylon. It's bigger than that. It is the whole country of U.S. So she has dominion over the kings of the earth. Right? That's where they meet. Only in New York City in the United States is the United Nations, where all nations assemble together in Babylon to try to solve the world's problems. When Babylon is destroyed, they will have to meet in another location, right? Another thing that's really interesting, some of these characteristics of Babylon are really, really striking, because before 1969, who would have ever thought of a space program, right? that literally that humans can go up to space, that they can go to the moon. Now they're making plans with this Mars. They want to put the American flag on Mars and even change the atmosphere there where humans can stay there. I don't know if they live or colonize or whatever, but do something up there. But who would have thought about this, right? And yet, 2,700 years ago, there's actually scriptures that talk about the American space program of Babylon. Jeremiah 51 in verse 9, the second part. For her judgment reaches to the heavens and is lifted up to the skies. It is lifted up to the skies. Go down to verse 53. Though Babylon should ascend up to the heavens, and though she should fortify her strong height, plunderers shall come to me, come from me to her, states Yahweh. So she's lifted up, right? She's going to ascend. She's going to lift up. The most interesting part of this is that in the Hebrew language, the word for that, to ascend or lift up, is NASA. NASA, the same name as the American space program that goes up there. So tell me that Yahweh isn't perfect in all his ways. Also, another big characteristic of Babylon is her pharmakia, her pharmaceuticals. Revelation 18:23, the second part of the verse. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, for by your sorceries, your pharmakia, all the nations were deceived. And while this is really, really coming about true right now, and I'll probably go into more of this in the Bible study next week, because when you're looking at what's going on already in America for the last, you know, 40, 50 years, you look at the drug companies, Merck, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, all these big, big billion-dollar drug companies, and they basically have most Americans on pills every day of their life, especially older people. You know, I think my dad has 9 different pills that they give him every single day. So everything from cholesterol to heart conditions to diabetes, and even millions of children are put on antidepressant drugs such as Ritalin and Paxil, right? So Scripture tells us in Revelation 22:2 that our Heavenly Father has given us the leaves of the trees for the healing of the nations. And I'm not saying that there's no merit in any pharmaceutical medicine. You know, there are times you need it. You could have a flu. You could have something. Who knows? Something that's really serious. But I do know something that, and I can't tell you worldwide, but I can tell you in America, to think that like 60-70% of the people are taking 5-6 pills a day, there's got to be something wrong. You know, that Yahweh did not create us to need these kind of pills. And they're expensive. Some pills are hundreds of dollars. I remember my uncle was sick not that long ago, and they wanted him to take a pill for something, and the one pill was like $6,000 a pill. And, you know, and a lot of times the insurance wouldn't even pay for it. But when you look at vaccinations, another thing, you know, that Yahweh makes children perfect, and yet you look today, the big thing that started since 1972 and the legalization of women killing their own children. And then when that didn't work, you know, it worked to a degree. You know, they have 70 million children that have been killed in America just since Roe versus Wade. But since it didn't work completely, you know, then they started this whole campaign on vaccinizing children with, now I think it's up to something like between 60 and 75 vaccinations that a child has before they're 3 years old. And it's like up until the time maybe they're 5, something like that. But when you're looking at some of these vaccinations, like they said with Afro-American children, that if they did give it to them 5 and older, they wouldn't be as susceptible to things like autism. And they actually do give them a lot of these shots at 3 years old and younger when they know it. When they know it, you could watch the movie Vaxxed. It's documented. They have the people that are affected by it. So, I mean, it's unbelievable what Babylon has done. And where Yahweh gave them this great power and the great resources to bring the good news worldwide. And they did for a time. You know, there was many, many decades that America was the leader in the world in bringing Bibles to the world and all these things, but no more. No more. Now its religious freedoms are cut off, and it's bad for all these things that are going on. So every aspect that we're looking at, we see that America is Babylon and fits all the characteristics of Babylon. So let's go into the economic part now. This time is moving on us. Because I think people lose the fact America has built an economic system that not even remotely have we ever seen anything like this in the history of the world. I mean, it is just unbelievable what's going on. And that's exactly the biggest characteristic if you go to Revelation 18, starting in verse 3. Because of the wine or the anger of a fornication which all the nations have drunk, even the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich from the power of her trade. So it's saying the merchants of the earth have become rich from the power of Babylon's trade. They're trading with Babylon. Babylon are the buyers. The merchants of the earth are the sellers. Verse 9, and the kings of the earth will weep for her and will wail over her, those having fornicated and have luxuriated with her, when they see the smoke of her burning, standing from afar because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe to the great city, Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment came. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her, because no one buys their merchandise anymore. That's why they're weeping and mourning, because nobody is buying their merchandise. And if you're honest with yourself, if China fell tomorrow, if Russia fell tomorrow, if a country in Europe fell tomorrow, UK or something else, maybe there'd be a little more economic downfall than another if someone like China fell, but nothing like Babylon. America is the only country in the world that would literally destroy the whole world trading system if they fell tomorrow. Because their currency is the world reserve currency, the dollar. Every other currency is based on the dollar. The dollar in petrodollars, in order to buy and sell oil, which is the largest commodity that's there, you have to buy dollars to do it. That's what it's traded in. Oil is traded in U.S. petrodollars. So the merchants of the earth weep and mourn because no one buys their merchandise anymore. Verse 12, never again will there be trading merchandise of gold, silver, precious stone, pearls, fine linen, purple and silk, scarlet, aromatic wood, every vessel of precious wood, of bronze, of iron, of marble, cinnamon, perfumes, ointment, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, beasts, sheep, horses, chariots, in bodies and souls of men. And the ripe fruits that your soul lusted after have went away from you, and all things delicious and splendid have perished from you, and you shall obtain them no more at all. The merchants of these things, the ones being enriched by her, will stand from afar because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning and saying, woe to the great city, having been clothed in linen and purple, showing how rich Babylon is, having girded with gold and precious stones and pearls. From 1 hour, such great wealth was desolated. So again, there is nobody else on earth that even remotely would fit these scriptures of merchants sighing and crying because nobody's buying their junk anymore. Also, what's interesting, if you go to verse 14, right? Because if you go to most places in the world, and I'd say probably 90% of places, what do you go when you buy to the store? When you go, whether it's to a market or you go to a supermarket, you're buying things in season. You know, there's not many places in the world where you can buy watermelon all year long, or you can buy strawberries all year long. In Babylon, you can. In Babylon, you can buy anything you want all year long. And look what verse 14 says. And the ripe fruits that your soul lusted after have went away from you. And even in Europe, you know, Europe, in most places, you're buying in the market, you're buying what's in season. You know, and depending on that, even the prices fluctuate. But Babylon takes things in all year long, just like the scripture says. And verse 19 of chapter 18, and they threw dust on their heads and cried, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe to the great city, by which all those having ships in the sea were rich from her costliness, because in 1 hour she was ruined. So, wow. And like I said, they list 25 specific things here that Babylon trades, right? Only in American Babylon, only do they have the commodity exchange where that's where you would trade it. You know, granted, UK may have a gold exchange there in the UK, as well as in America, but no other country on earth has the commodity exchange that America has. So no matter where you are in the world, you can be in Japan to, you know, Antarctica. If you want to sell and trade these things through the commodity exchange, you have to go to Babylon to do it. That's where they're doing. And that's where the prices come up from it. That's where they make the world market of prices on these things. So what's going to happen? When Babylon falls, that's where things like gold and other things will probably soar through the roof temporarily. But then as there's world famine and there's no food there, you can't eat a piece of gold, and the people will be throwing it in the streets when they see that it's not worth anything anymore. Without a shadow of a doubt, Babylon is the country of the United States of America, and the American people who import all the world's goods, who the merchants of the earth would wail and cry if they did not exist anymore. One is honest with himself, there is no other nation on earth who imports and consumes the goods of all other nations as the United States does. China is growing on the world export market, but they are sellers, not consumers and buyers like the Americans are. Clearly, there is one nation on earth today who fits the above scripture, and it is United States of America. Up until 1981, there were only a handful of stock market exchanges worldwide, but now almost every country on earth has adopted the trading system of America Babylon to incorporate into their own. So we see that too. Like I said, you can't just judge Babylon on the end now after 70 years as they're being destroyed, even though they're still the world leader in most things. But look from starting in 1945 to 50 and 1950 to 60 and look at all the... I've done it in other messages on Babylon. A matter of fact, if you go into our Revelation study, Revelation 17 and 18, when I was going over this stuff, I don't have all the statistics in front of me today, but wow, I read them all off there, like I said, on iron and gold and metal and aluminum. I mean, just about everything you can imagine and how much America produced. In some cases, they produced 75% of the world, and the whole world together produced the other 25%. Do we see any other characteristics of Babylon? We sure do. Isaiah 47 and verse 6. I was angry with my people. I defiled my inheritance and gave them into your hand. You gave them no mercy. You made your yoke on the aged very heavy. And I said, I shall be a mistress, and you said, this is what Babylon is saying, I shall be a mistress forever until you did not set these things in your heart and you did not remember its end. Now then, hear this, O pleasure seeker, who lives carelessly, who says in her heart, I am, right, taking the title of Yahweh. I am and none else is. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children, right? So what is America? America is a pleasure seeker. They're pleasure seekers, and they take the titles of Yahweh because they think that America itself, and whenever there's a problem, even now with COVID-19, it's not that Yahweh will solve the problem, it's that we will solve the problem. We will come up with our technology and our military and you know, all of our knowledge. We will solve any problem in the world, and that's what they keep saying. And yet, things there only get worse. Isaiah 47 and verse 10. For you trusted in your evil. You said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge, it is turning you back. And you said in your heart, I am and there is none else. Right? That's the way they look at it. When something happens somewhere else, it doesn't make a difference. But when it's happening to them, then it makes a difference in the world. Revelation 18. Back to Revelation 18 and verse 6. Give back to her as she gave back to you, and double to her double according to her works, and the cup which she mixed, mixed to her double. By what things she glorified herself and luxuriated, by so much give back to her torment and mourning, because she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and I will not see sorrow. Because of this, in one day her plagues will come, death and mourning and famine, just like we're seeing today. And she will be consumed with fire, just like we're seeing today. For Adonai Yahweh judging her is strong. And the kings of the earth will weep for her and will wail for her. Those having fornicated, spiritually speaking, and have luxuriated with her when they see the smoke of her burning. Drop down to verse 16. Saying, woe, woe, the great city having been clothed in linen and purple and scarlet, showing the riches again, and having been girded with gold and precious stone and pearls, for in 1 hour such wealth was desolated. So I don't know how you can read Revelation 18 in these scriptures I'm showing you here and deny that only the United States of America fits all the scriptures perfectly of end time Babylon. There is no other single nation on earth which has a standard of living such as the United States. Most of the West have no concept of what world democracy, which America Babylon has brought to the world, has done to the majority of people living on this earth. So, you know, you look when Bill Clinton signed NAFTA and GATT back in the 1990s, right? These free trading agreements that went there and what happened. The corporations in America went wild. They made all this money because now they were able to produce in places like India and Bangladesh and, you know, Africa, produce these things. So Central and South America, you know, you see a shirt that can be made in Mexico and yet it's a Gucci shirt that's $150. But the one who is producing the shirt is maybe making 20 cents an hour. So Babylon really has made slaves of the souls of men. Same, like I say, you look in Africa, you know, in Kenya particularly, because we're very familiar there, how these people produce their tea. And they used to produce some of the best coffee in the world, but Babylon decided we don't need their coffee. We'll get the coffee from here. We want you to produce tea. So now they can't produce coffee. And when they produce the tea, is it free open market like they have, right? No, it's not. Women will work all day long. And for maybe 10, 20 cents a barrel that they're getting the tea that they're picking on their back with a baby on the back too. And if they're good and they can pick a few barrels a day, you know, maybe they make a dollar or whatever while the tea is being sold for astronomical prices to these companies that are there. So this is what Babylon has brought to the world with this trading system. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer, and it's an unfair and unjust system. And our Heavenly Father has said enough. The sins of Babylon has reached heaven. And Yahweh is getting ready to take his vengeance on Babylon. Because of all, she's luxuriated herself through her so-called free trade. 70% of the world does not even have clean water to drink, food to eat, or sustained incomes to live by. 70% of the world lives on $5 a week or less. And the number one job in the world today is working in rice fields and rice paddies, making very little money to support their families. Many people living in places such as Philippines and Sri Lanka have to leave their families for years to work overseas, maybe making $40 or $50 a week. They send all the money home, hoping to help their children have a better life than they do. However, they do so at the expense of not seeing their little children grow. And sometimes the children do not even know where their parents are. Babylon's economic prowess made the merchants and bankers of the world rich, but at the expense of billions of poor people worldwide. So this is the real key to understanding why Yahweh is angry about end time Babylon. Because Babylon did not only destroy itself with its abundant lifestyles, covetous spirit, and love of knowledge, but it did so at the enslavement of the souls of men, like it says in Revelation 18, 13. So what will be the punishment for Babylon when this happens? Jeremiah 50 and verse 2. Declare among the nations and make them hear and lift the banner, make them hear. Do not hide it. Say, Babylon is captured. Bel is put to shame. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her images are put to shame. Her idols are broken into pieces. For a nation comes up against her from the north, and people laugh and say, oh, Canada's going to attack America. No, it doesn't say the northern border will be a nation will attack you. It says they come from that way. And it's interesting how President Trump and a lot of people are talking about the southern border and building a wall. There is no wall on the northern border. You have thousands of miles of open forestry up there. that easily could be attacked coming from the Medes and the Persians who were coming, the Iranians and the Russians, and also the Chinese will be with them and many other nations, like it says. So it's just a conglomerate of nations coming from the north. For a nation comes up against it from the north, which shall make her land a desert. Yea, no one shall dwell in it. They will flee, they will go, both man and animal. Because of the wrath of Yahweh, it will not be inhabited, but all of it will be a waste. Everyone who goes by Babylon will be amazed and hiss at her plagues. Come against her from the end, open the granaries, pile her up as heaps, and utterly destroy her. Do not let a remnant be left. So there's people here, or people not here, there's people that are there, people in places, that claim that the Lord told them that there's going to be refuge places in America. We've been hearing this for, I know I've been hearing it for close to 30 years. And you say these people that the Lord gave them a dream and the Lord told them this and that. And yet, Scripture says this, you know, like it talks about in Jeremiah, let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream. Let the one who has the word of Yahweh speak it faithfully. And the word of Yahweh is very clear. There are not going to be any refuges in Babylon. They will not. And what you're seeing today in Babylon, this is only a dress rehearsal for what's coming. It's nothing. This is political. You haven't even started to see problems yet because the society hasn't started to break down yet. As far as people not having medicine, people not having food, people not having energy. When that starts to happen, look out. That's when you're really going to have chaos there. Now, you're just having paid agitators. You know, that's what's going on there now. You have an anarchist, paid anarchist, through people like George Soros and these other communist people want to destroy America. But let me tell you something. You ain't seen nothing what's going to happen when this happens. But there will be no remnant left there. Jeremiah 51 and verse 58. So says Yahweh of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly laid bare, and her high gates will be burned with fire. And the people shall labor as for vanity, and the people as for fire, and they shall be weary. Jeremiah 51 and verse 6. Flee from the midst of Babylon. Every man deliver his soul. Do not be silenced in her iniquity. For the time of the vengeance of Yahweh, for it is the time of the vengeance of Yahweh, he will give to her a just recompense, he will repay her. So it's very clear. People say, well, Yahweh has people there. What about that? Well, he tells us seven times. He says to leave the land of Babylon. If he says he's going to destroy a place, he's going to destroy it. And he says there will not be a remnant left there. And now it's up to people to decide. You know, are they going to be, like I gave the message not that long ago on Lot's wife, going to be hanging around and looking back, or are you going to follow the word of Yahweh? Jeremiah 51 and verse 43, her cities have become a ruin, a dry place, and a wilderness, a land in which no man dwells. No man dwells. Jeremiah 51, 62, then they shall say, O Yahweh, you have spoken against this place to cut it off, so that none shall remain in it from man to animal, but it will be a ruin forever. So there's many, many scriptures that talk about this, that Babylon will be completely destroyed. Part of it is for the world, the evil world system of trading. Part of it is for what they've done to Israel, you know, which I'll talk about another time, not today. But I've said it many times about America pulling back their support for Israel, Israel getting attacked, and America also supporting the dividing of the land. And even President Trump has another peace plan that's no different than George Bush and the quartet and all the other ones. It's the same plan as Bill Clinton and Oslo. Any plan that's coming up, it's dividing the land of Israel, which Yahweh says is going to bring his wrath. Jeremiah 50 and verse 8, flee from the midst of Babylon and go out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he-goats before the flock. So it's very, very clearly Jeremiah 51, 45, my people go out of her midst and deliver each man his soul from the burning anger of Yahweh. Revelation 18 and verse 4. And I heard another voice out of heaven saying, leave the land of her, my people, that you not share in her sins, and that you may not receive of her plagues. For her sins joined together reached to heaven, and Yahweh remembered her unjust deeds. So we have to be law-abiding citizens. We, you know, give to Caesar what Caesar's, give to Yahweh what's Yahweh's. But when you're living in Babylon and you're paying taxes in Babylon, and you're buying your goods in Babylon, you're supporting that system. You're supporting a system where the government helps and pays for abortions, where they're paying for all these evil things that are going on. And like I said, if you're there, and that's why he says flee it, so that you not share in her sins and that you not receive of her plagues. Because as long as you're there, you're a part of the problem and not part of the solution. So I think it's extremely clear from Scripture that only end time America, only America fits end time Babylon and all the scriptures there. That it talks about Babylon's judgment coming from Yahweh. Next week I'll get into when that is, because it says after 70 years by the mouth of Yahweh will that happen. And I think it's a perfect time to give these Bible studies as we see what's going on in world events, and particularly what's going on in the United States of Babylon now. But we're seeing all these things come together, and Yahweh's word is very clear that we are to flee the land of Babylon and the system of Babylon, first of all. That it doesn't matter if you've never been to America in your life, our brethren that are in Africa or Asia or Central and South America, you have to get that Babylonian mentality out, this system of trading that America has brought to the world, you got to get rid of. And it's time that we need to be making our communities, to be sanctifying our lives, and to be separate from Satan's world system of trading that he has there. The last thing I just do want to say also is that I'm preaching this 25 years, and most of the time I say very little about the scriptures about leaving Babylon, because it seems to be the biggest fleeing happens as Babylon is being destroyed, because it's run for your life. It's almost like a Lot situation that's happening. There are some, as our family has been blessed, to be he goes before the flock, to get out of there beforehand, to help other people to get out. But it is not a litmus test to how spiritual you are, whether you've left Babylon or you're in Babylon. And what I've seen through the years, people that were so fixated on only getting out of Babylon, and they made that their whole life, most of them wound up going back to Babylon. And when they did get out, or they were planning to get out, they judged the people who didn't get out, and or they judged the people that would even go back to visit. And in the end, all those people wound up back in Babylon. So, you know, it's not a litmus test to your spirituality whether you're out of Babylon or in Babylon. It's simply a commandment at this very time, as in the end time, because Yahweh is destroying the place that he's out of his love for his remnant, that he's trying to share with them to get out of there, not to be destroyed in Babylon's destruction. But when and how Yahweh has that, I know that, you know, at this point, we have very little manpower left in Babylon. We have one elder that's left there that is not because he wants to be there, because he's doing it as a blessing to the congregation to help the ones that are still there. But I don't think anybody wants to be there at this point. And so let's just pray for the ones who are there to get out. Let's not use it as a matter of judgment, but let's use it as a matter of to be able to have a better understanding of each other and pray for each other and to be supporting each other as time is going on. So just summing up again the points we went over today. Babylon is a land and not simply a system or a church. Babylon is the top military mind in the world. Babylon is the engine of the world economy. Babylon has the highest standard of living in the world. Babylon is rebuked for her pride and arrogance. Babylon will be completely destroyed before the kingdom comes. Yahweh warns his covenant elect to flee the land of Babylon and not to partake in her sins and also not receive of her plagues. So I pray everybody has a blessed Sabbath. Next Sabbath, not tomorrow, but next Sabbath, we will be going over part 3 of the Word of Yahweh. And then next Erev Shabbat, I will do the other Bible study on more of the prophetic side of Babylon. So Yahweh bless. Shabbat Shalom.